Have you ever heard or do you remember a statement being made that everybody brings something to the party? Well, he brings something to the party. And everybody can bring something. And it's like just allowing God to do what he wants. It doesn't have to look like what everybody else is doing. It doesn't have to sound like the way he sings these songs sometimes. He'll sing them a little different than the way that I was taught them. But it's like, it's okay. Because God created us all to be different. And there's people that are in our lives that need God to flow through us to touch them. And it doesn't have to be all polished. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can make mistakes. But it's just letting God live, letting God flow. I want to go back to... And do you notice that the songs that he sings, these are... do you hear the messages in them? I like the old hymnals. I like the old hymns, you know, myself. I love all those. Anyway, that's one thing that I do miss. I keep thinking, Lord, I'd like us to sing those, you know, just because there's some awesome messages in there. I also want to go back to what Steve, when Steve was up here talking, I'm really glad to have these visitors from the Bahamas. And then we have Mersada's mom here today from Bosnia. So I want you to make sure you give her a hug before she leaves, because I want her to be hugged by Jesus today, okay? I want to make sure. But I want you to, because it goes along with something that I felt like I have a clue exactly how today is going to go, but something when I was asking him, he gave me a lot of questions to ask y'all, and I'm like, Lord, when I asked questions the other day, it was like any one of them they could have thought on for a month, you know? And so how do you want to do this, you know? But did you hear what Steve kept saying? See, Steve was with us. Steve and Cheryl were with us back in, I believe it was 93. That's when you met Jesus, right? And 93, 94, 95. And we were teaching on what God was teaching us, which was to depend on Him. And the way to depend on God is, number one, you got to pray. Number two, you got to believe. Probably the believing comes first. Then you need to pray. And then you need to wait on God, but you need to include Him in your life. Include Him all the time. And the thing that I heard, because I'm sitting there listening to Steve, and it sounded like we're listening to a travel log, you know, on the Bahamas or something, you know. My trip to the Bahamas, you know. My family and I went, you know. And it was like, but what I kept hearing in there was, God, what do you want? God, what should we do? God, what's next? I mean, right in the midst of what their walk, they're driving. God, what do we do? There's tornadoes all around us. What do? Stop, pull over. Really? It's like, okay. He was including God. We need God, correct?
Yes.
But we need Him all the time. He's not like, you know, waiting at a gas station for us to come fill up and then run through the day and say, I filled up in God this morning. It's like He wants to be with us throughout the day. And if you sense that He's not with you, who do you think left? Did He leave you? Or did you leave Him? And then when we sing that song that Janiyah or... I don't know if Janiyah was doing it, but anyway, somehow I thought it was a Janiyah song about, I'm so happy, so very happy. And I'm singing, seeing all the people singing that. How are you happy, or are you happy? And if so, what does it take to be happy or to have joy? What does it take? You know, there's choices that we make. And the more we make choices that come in line with God, the more we come into a way of a life of perfection or a life of peace or a life of blessing or a life of God's presence. I shouldn't say or, I should say and. But it's our choices. Because happiness can happen, but it doesn't stay. Joy is eternal. And you can have joy in the midst of situations that you're going through. Turn to Psalm 93, if you would. I want us to read a few chapters here. Psalm 93, then we're going to go to Psalm 91. Yep, 93. Yep. And then we're going to do 91 after that, okay, Mercada? Okay, Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. It reminds me of a marquee I saw at a church yesterday. It said, Heaven's Forecast. Jesus reigns forever. Okay? I thought that was kind of cool. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, like floods of ungodly men. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Before I go on this, because I was asking, why do you want me to read Psalm 93? And why we're reading it, I just want to talk to you so you're hearing it now of what's getting ready to happen in your life. I love America, but I don't love the way America is right now. I don't love America's choices. I don't love America's government. We need to pray for our government. That's what the Word says. It's what we need to do. But things... My wife was watching a... I don't know what you call it. Interview with Kirk Cameron. Do you know who that Kirk Cameron is? He's a Christian actor. Okay, we'll call it like that. Growing Pains. Do you remember the cereal or whatever you call it? Growing Pains. He was on there. And this guy was asking him questions and about homosexuality. And Kirk was answering in a way that was... sounded like he was in the Spirit and answering things the way God wanted him to answer. But the problem is the man didn't want to hear what he was saying. So you're going to have people that are going to ask you things, but what you really need to ask God is, God, do they want to hear the truth? Are they open to the truth? Because sometimes people ask things and they're just looking to set you up so they can accuse you or defame you or argue with you, because they've already got their mindset. It's kind of like when I ask y'all questions sometimes and y'all are looking at me going, what are you looking for? You know, it's like I could answer this in a bunch of ways, but where are you trying to go? What are you looking for? Well, from what I understand, it's like a hate crime to talk about people that are in sin. Well, I'm sorry. Who's not in sin? Who doesn't have sin in their life? And to take a stand for things, to take a stand for truth, when you have lies, and people are wanting to believe lies, and they're wanting to allow for things because they don't want you to mess with what they're doing. So they make allowances for what other people are doing that's grossly wrong. I'm just asking you, what are you going to do? See, this world is not going to be like it was when I was a kid, because it's already not. It's already gotten way worse. Less respect for authorities. Kids not obeying. Rebellion. Anarchy. And just all kinds of bad stuff going on. And it's going to get worse. And I'm not here, I'm not a doomsday prophet. I'm just, go read the newspaper or open your eyes or take your eyes off of what it is you're looking at and focus in on and broaden your scope and see what's going on. She just said the psychologists are labeling this generation as the abandoned generation. So many people, there's so many broken homes. So many people are growing up without fathers. I just met a born-again lady at the... we went and did another one of those things we just did in New York. We just did one in Novi. Toy show, whatever, anyway. And so we were there to, you know, promote that game. And I met this born-again... trainer. And anyway, talked with her and stuff. But she's raising these two girls, or at least one of them, and I don't think she's married anymore. And what I'm saying is, and she thanked me after I talked to these two girls. I went over there to their booth to take my daughter over there, and the one girl was standing there, and I felt like God told me to say something to her, and I prayed for her. And the other girl goes, I want prayer. I want prayer. So I prayed for her. And what I noticed, and my wife, well, I don't know that I noticed it, but I just felt like God was saying to me, these girls don't have a man in their life. They don't have a man figure in their life. And they're looking. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Okay? Okay? I'm trying to let you know this is an abandoned generation, because people are so busy trying to make ends meet and having so much pain and stuff in their own lives. See, when people forsake God, like people don't go to church, for example. Even if you don't go to church sometimes, what will happen is you'll find your life getting harder. Okay? Because God wants us here. It's a family. It's where you're going to get nourished. You're going to get loved. You're going to get believed in. I went to hug Glenn this morning, or I go to hug Rick, and both of them say to me, oh, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. That's what I was looking for. All I was doing was just loving them. Just hugging them. Didn't say anything, just loving them. People around us, folks, are so desperate. Leida is telling me about a little girl that comes through her line where she's a chief cook and bottle washer over there at the school. And this little girl's real hurting and real withdrawn like a clam. And Leida just kept being nice to her every day. Was aware, could see this, God showing it to her, praying for her. Yes, Mom, be glad to. Come right back. Just, we get by with a little help from our friends. Say, I'll help corral. Not Carol. I'll be a corral. Okay. So anyway, Leida just kept loving on this little girl every day. She's coming through, and the little girl's scared of her, and she's just saying, hi, you having a nice day? And one day, the girl would never talk. And one day, the little girl said, I'm having a good day, or hi, or whatever she said. I don't remember what Leida told me, but what I'm saying is Leida is just loving the little girl where she's at. Folks, this world is getting worse. It's going to get worse. This isn't going to be the America that you know. This is going to become like a European country, like a communist country. I mean, it's quickly becoming that way. Our president is following a Marxist or communist agenda, doctrine. Okay? Completely anti-Christ. And he's leading this country, and the world's not, the country's not really standing up and saying anything about it. They're allowing it. We're allowing it. But it's because we, as the church, as believers, have dropped the ball and not doing our own job, which is us setting the standard, us walking with God, us releasing God to love other people. And it said the floods have lifted up. The floods of ungodly men. There's like a flood. You feel like helpless. But God's still in control. God put us here for this, for a purpose. Now I can see why you told me those questions, Lord. Okay, Psalm 91. Are you in Psalm 91? He that dwelleth, he that lives, he that remains in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know if you can picture that, but I do, man. It's like God having wings, and you're just climbing up under His wing, and He just holds you, and it's like getting soft on both sides, but you're covered, and you're protected, and you're right up next to His heart. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Even if they take it off the coins, in God we trust, in Him will I trust. Surely, truly, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence or plague that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 other people shall fall at thy right hand, people even being close to you. But it shall not come nigh thee. Jesus. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now I want you to notice verse 9. In the whole chapter, which I memorized, verse 9 is the one that I have circled. I want you to pay attention to verse 9. All these things, verses 1 through 8, he's talking about being close to God and God protecting him. Though the whole world is going in chaos, though he's surrounded by tornadoes, though all the people are falling in calamity, he's walking through safe and in the presence of God. You ready? Why? Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, talking about the same God, even the Most High, you have made Him your habitation. Remember we told you, God is not looking for visitation rights. He doesn't want to just visit you every now and then, or you give Him an hour a week, or 2 hours a week, and you come to church, and I gave Him my 2 hours, Lord. He's not looking for visitation rights. He wants habitation. He wants us to learn to live with Him. 24/7, live with Him. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling or thy house. Why? For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. That means they're going to carry you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread or walk upon the lion and adder, the lion, the deadly snake. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Why? Because you, hopefully, have set your love upon God. Therefore, but God says it this way, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I am amazed wherever God sends me of the people that are so desperate and hungry and thirsty for love, for acceptance, for truth. And I just allow God to say or do whatever. It's not the same And people are just like receiving it as if it was like breath they needed to live. Everywhere I go, every walk of life. Now, not everybody is at that place. Many are still looking to other things to satisfy them. But I'm amazed at how many people God brings in my life that are just needing God. The other day, I asked you some questions. Do you remember those questions that we asked? I said it was a test. Did you write down those questions? Did you write down any of them? Did any of them stick out at you? Turn to Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs right after Psalms. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you fall when trouble happens, your strength is small. The things that happen in our life is kind of like a test. How do we respond when somebody yells at us? What kind of choices do we make when people say things we don't like? Or they say things we don't agree with? What do? Do we go off in rebellion? Do we yell at them? Do we cut them off? What do we do? How do we respond? If you faint in the day of adversity, when things happen in your life, Steve's driving down the road and he's surrounded by tornadoes, what do you do? What do you do when you have tornadoes in your life? What do you do when you get out of the car and you see a beautiful scene and you say, God, what should we do? And he says, well, if you leave your car, those people you see standing there will steal all your stuff. But if he hadn't asked, he could have found the same answer without his stuff. He could have gotten the same answer. It just wouldn't have been as fun because he wouldn't have had his stuff. This, I know you've never heard this before, so I'm just going to share it. This is a training center. This is a preparation place for your life. I know you've never heard that, and I know it probably comes as a shock. So if you need to tighten your seatbelt a little bit, you know. Yeah. But it's to prepare you. Look, you are a minister, and when I say that, some of you will never stand up front. Some of you will never start churches. Some of you will never preach. But you know what? Maybe you're just going to hug somebody. Maybe you're just going to be a friend to somebody. Maybe you're just going to listen and they're going to talk and they're going to say afterwards, you helped me so much, and you're like, I didn't even say anything or do anything. Ministering is meeting another's needs. Hence, we have this. I'll show it to you again. It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And He's all about others. That's what this life is about. Because when we're living for self, we're unhappy. Because even when you get what you want, have you noticed it doesn't fulfill you like you thought it would? Oh, I want this so bad! And then you get it, and it was like... That's why you don't want to spoil kids. That's one thing. 1 Peter 3:15, please. 1 Peter 3:15. If you're in 1 John, you went just a little too far. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Now ready? And be ready always to give an answer to every man or any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, but give your answer in meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer to others of why you have hope. This world, I'm already seeing it like a lot. But nothing compared to like what it's going to be. This world, people are not, they're going to lose hope. you're going to see all kinds of people killing themselves and doing all kinds of things that you can't even believe, leaving natural affection, abandoning their families. I mean, people are still doing that right now, but way more than what you see right now. All the things that you're amazed at or you're shocked at, it's only a taste of what's coming. And when we're standing here in God and saying, God, I'm in the midst of tornadoes, what do I do? And God tells you, and other people are going to go, you're solid. And they're not. You know what I'm talking about? You're solid and they're not. Colossians 1:27, please. Just go back just a little bit to Colossians. Let's see. If you're Philippians or Thessalonians, it's between those two. Colossians. You're almost... Oh, you think it's this way? I don't know. It's hard to read this. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known, talking about to His saints. If you look in the preceding verse, he's talking about He makes known to His saints, to the people that have made a covenant with Him by sacrifice, to the believers in Jesus Christ. It says, to them God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Go back one book to Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21. The book before. Philippians 1:21. And I'm also going to read from Psalm 63, verse 8, if you want to turn there. Philippians 1:21. I don't know if I only have one life's verse, but this is definitely my life's verse. At least one of them. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me, my choice, to live is Christ. See, I don't want to live without Christ. I want Christ to be in every conversation, every response, every choice, every decision, every second. I want to live Christ. Everything else leaves me empty. Everything else does not satisfy. Everything else fails. Everyone else does. For to me, for me, Harvey Hampton, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. You see, you can exist without Christ, but you can't live without Christ. Psalm 63:8 says, My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. See, I am chasing God. I am chasing God. I've got to have God. I'm following hard after Him. I'm not just following Him, lackadaisically skipping along. I am following hard. You know my cat upstairs? Well, it's my cat. And that's how I ended up getting that cat. Janaya and Dudley got me a cat. I brought it home. That cat was not my cat. I don't care if they told me it was my cat. That cat didn't want me or nobody. Okay? It hissed. Every time I got near it, it was like, dude, cats, kids, dogs, kids, birds, they won't leave me alone. They like are on me all the time. We go into houses when I'd go to do tubs. Here's cats, kids, dogs, birds. I mean, they're just on you. Okay? This cat was like the opposite end of the magnet. I couldn't get it to come to me for nothing. If I held it the whole time, I was like, it's like, okay. Janiyah, I need to get a cat that, you know, I don't want to have to duct tape this cat to me, you know. And it would probably claw my leg up on both sides, you know. So I go back and they said, here's how you get a cat, Dad. Go back. This lady had like 30 cats or whatever. She said, just go there and sit down, which I did. And she said, let the cat come to you. Cat came right to me, got up on me, you know, turned that little motor on, you know. That is my cat. Now, if you ever watch that cat, wherever I go, I'm about to drop kick it all the time. I don't mean to. The cat is like on me. My soul followeth hard after God. I might get kicked sometimes. I might become a nuisance to Him. But I've been doing this for 36 years and He hasn't told me that I'm too close yet. He hadn't told me to go away yet. That's one of the things I love about God. I don't know if this ministers to you, but this ministers to me like bigger than almost anything I could tell you about Jesus. He never gets enough of me. He never tells me I have to go away. He doesn't treat me like parents and say, go play. He never has a cutoff point. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, please. Matthew 10, 39. Keep looking these up. I already know my heart, Lord. Matthew 10, 39. First book of New Testament. Do you have it? Yeah, exactly. I can read that. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. I found my way. I made my fortune. I've got my business. Here's what I'm doing. I've got it all figured out. I'm doing it and I'm running with it and I got my plans. I don't know anybody that was worse at that than me. He that findeth his life, you're going to lose it. It's not going to give you what you want. It's not going to turn out like you want. Even when you think you got what you want, it doesn't satisfy. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, Jesus said, shall find it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 and 36. John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32.
She's so crazy.
It's okay. She's Bosnian. She can't help it. John... I know it. See, I'm not jumping around. John 8, 31 and 32, okay? Come here. John 8, 31 and 32. Ready? Woo! Ready? Okay. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Do you have a pen and paper? I want to ask you a few questions. I will do my best. And if you have questions, or if you want to answer the question, or you want to comment on it, just somehow let me know. Raise your hand, jump up and down. Don't act like you're falling over dead, because I probably have to do mouth-to-mouth on you, and Spencer, you probably wouldn't like it. Okay? Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you the way I felt like God gave it to me. So, what lie are you tired of living? Number two, do you need me to repeat that? I don't think anybody needs that repeated, do they? What lie are you tired of living? What truth would you like to live? Or we could word it this way, because there's two questions. What truth are you in agreement with but not really living? See, I believe everybody in this room wants truth. I believe everybody in this room wants God, wants Jesus. I don't think you'd come here and be subject to harm if you didn't. But how, you remember that verse where it says, be not hearers of the word only, but doers, let's see, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, there's a lot of stuff we know, but we're not doing it. So how do we get to that point of doing it? How do we get to that point of living victoriously? How do we get to that place in our life where we're actually living Jesus and not just attending His house as visitors? How? Just for your information, not because I don't have anything else to do, because I do. But during the week, some of you, or during the month, after I ask these questions or whatever, or we preach or whatever, and it challenges you, some of you call us. Some of you come by and talk to us because you're thinking on these things. And when you do, it's those that do, it seems to help them. I'm just letting you know, we're available. I might have to put you on hold to get the next call, or I might have to tell you I'll call you back later, and it might be a day or two later, just the way my life goes. That's why Glenn and Dan are about both back there about to chuck a gut, because that's how my life is. I'm sorry. I don't know how to say that, Lord, so I won't say it because I want it to sound nice. So, another question. You ready? Who controls your life? Let me give you some ideas on that thought. You ready? Do what others say control your life? You know, like somebody says something, and then how do you respond? You find yourself getting mad, yelling, angry, talking about them to everybody under the sun for a while? They just controlled your life. They just controlled your life. Who controls your life? I go into the bank, I told you, and they say, how you doing? And if I ever say anything but about excellent, they don't believe me. If I tell them, oh, I'm having a bad day, they go, no, you don't ever have a bad day. And I don't. Because I choose not to have a bad day, because I've got Jesus. And when I'm having a bad day, I just give it to Him. Jesus, would you take care of this? And He said, I was just waiting for you to hand it to me. He said, I can handle this. He said, I just kept giving you enough until you couldn't handle it. So you'd have to give it to me, because maybe you weren't paying attention, Harv, or maybe you'd kind of wandered, were operating in your own little fill-up of the morning. You follow me? So who controls your life? What others say? How about what others do? See, I have a real hard time, if I even think about it at all, about what our president does. It wants to control my life. I don't just get angry. I don't just get mad. I get violently upset. I can't even tell you publicly how it affects me. And God's told me I can't have anything to do with politics, because when I think about anything going on in the political arena, I get so upset. you would read about me in the newspaper, okay? And it wouldn't be pretty, okay? Who controls your life? What others say? What others do? I'm asking you about your everyday life. Who controls your life? The news? It's got to be true because they printed it, right? Well, then why did you say, well, the news said? What does it matter? Most of it is not truth. It may contain a truth, but it's twisted, it's perverted by the time you get it. They're only giving you a slant, a part of it. Who controls your life? How others respond or react? Okay, next question. Main question. Do you have a foundation of truth? Biggest question. Okay, this is questions under that question. You ready? Where did you get that foundation of truth? Well, my dad said. Does that make it true? Or does that make it not true? The question is, do you have a foundation of truth? And then, where did you get it? You see, it's not true or untrue because my dad said it. When we are growing up and our parents are teaching us things, we need to follow that. Realize God put that parent in our life and we need to follow it. But just because they said it's true, they make mistakes. And as we become adults, now we are responsible for what we are living. Everything we think we believe needs to be suspect, is what I'm trying to tell you. There is a rebellious, question that I'll see a bumper sticker on cars, and it'll say, question authority. You're not supposed to question authority. You're supposed to question God about what it is you believe. You don't question authority. Authority is there. We're supposed to obey. Not obey when we like it. Not obey when we're in agreement. We're supposed to obey authority unless in so doing you disobey God. Is that a good balance? You always obey authority unless in so doing you disobey God. Is that a good balance? Okay. Because you could think you're right. And then you're just a rebel. Because God ordained authority. Do you know that Mr. Obama is in the White House because God ordained him to be in the White House? If you don't believe me, I'm not going to take time to quote it to you. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. He had me memorize that years ago because of that very thing. Being a leader, it was hard for me to submit to leaders. You understand? So God made sure I had a whole lot of heavy-duty, strong leaders in my life to make sure I got this. Do you have a foundation of truth? Where did you get it? When I met Jesus, I said, God, all this time I thought I was right about a whole lot of things. But you know what? I missed you, and you're the biggest truth, and I missed you. What else is it that I'm wrong about, that I think I'm right about? This is my foundation of truth. It doesn't matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say. When I preached around the country, I would go to different groups of preachers. I don't know how to explain. They have groups they run in or whatever. I don't know what you call that. Circles. Tribes. Okay. And I could go and preach over here for this preacher, and they believed certain things. And then if I went over here and preached for this preacher, well, they didn't agree with that preacher, and they were off. Well, I didn't agree with any of them. I agreed with the Word, and if they came in agreement with the Word, then we could be in agreement. If they weren't in agreement with the Word, I just loved them as somebody who was in error that needed time to come to truth. Do you understand? But often this preacher would cut me off, didn't want me to come back and preach anymore because I might be in agreement with this preacher on an issue. that was big to this preacher. Are we man followers or God followers? You can write that as a question, but to me that's just something that you may have heard before here. Do you have a foundation of truth? Where did you get it from? Through whom? Or from whom? Through whom? Do you have a foundation of truth? From whom? Through whom? How solid is your truth? How strong is your truth? How solid are you in this truth? Sue went to Oakland University, was gonna years ago, and she went to this class that was a psychology class, and they were teaching what's called situational ethics. They justify things. A man had a daughter who had a disease, and she needed a certain medicine, but the medicine was cost so much, and he didn't have the insurance, and the insurance wouldn't have covered it all anyway, and so he went and stole the medicine. And the professor asked the class, did he do wrong? Did he do wrong? I see. Ow. And the whole class, to a person, said no, it was okay for him to steal. And my wife, being the bold, out front person that she is, couldn't wait, biting at the bit, just jump up. You know that wasn't her. That would have been me. But instead my wife's like, I don't agree. And the professor kept saying, does anyone disagree? And God kept saying, Sue, stand up. And she's like, I don't want to stand up. Let Harvey do it. And he's like, Harvey's not here. You're here. But I don't want to do that. I don't talk in front of people. You think she's got boldness? Dude, you have no clue. She does now. But she was like terrified of people when I met her. God had her stand up at a state university, Oakland University over on the other side, in front of, I don't know, there was at least 100 young people in this college class, and say what the man did was wrong. People are yelling at her, telling her all kinds of stuff. She's mean. What about the child? What about blah, blah, blah? And Sue said whatever God told her to say. And she didn't want to stand up in front of that class. But she did. Because God told her to. And it didn't matter what she felt. Because she felt afraid. She felt outnumbered. She felt like all it would do is cause a problem. But God's a troublemaker. You did read Genesis, right? In the beginning, God. See, He starts everything. He's a troublemaker. Ready for the next question? This is under the, do you have a foundation of truth? Is your truth subject to change? Is your truth subject to change? Is it based on others' acceptance? What if others don't accept what you're saying is true? Do you change your truth? Is your truth based on what others say? How about the looks they give? They give you the look. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. You get the look from the other one. It happens. And we give them. One day, see, that's what I told Sue. I said, why don't you carry a mirror? Because she was talking about the looks I give, you know. I said, just hold the mirror up. She said, if you could just see your face, I said, then carry a mirror. Stick it in my face. Because I don't know that I'm giving looks. Next main question. Do you believe that God moves at the sound of your voice? Do you? I'm glad one does. I'm glad two do. But you see, I've noticed the answer to this question for some time. I'm asking you for your sake. Do you believe God moves at the sound of your voice? Does the Almighty move when you pray? So the next question, because we needed to have that in there, because I said, God, why are you having me do all this? And he said, here's the next question. You ready? Do you ask God to move in your life? Do you ask Him daily? How often per day? Did you hear Steve talking about going to Bahamas? I know y'all felt sorry for him because he and Cheryl went to the Bahamas and have to suffer the heat, you know, and be in danger of all the tornadoes and, you know, the, you know, harmful of the white sand and the soft water that was warm and felt like you were in a, you had the sunburn. I know you felt sorry for him. Okay? Because you got to enjoy the snow and the sleet and the cold weather and the wind. And so I know you felt sorry for Steve and Cheryl. And I really appreciate you caring about them and praying for them. Okay? But did you notice when he was talking about why I went to the Bahamas? Did you, you know, when he was doing his book report? Did you hear him repeatedly say, as he, everything happened in his life, God, before he even got started, God, we're preparing for vacation, but we don't know where to go. See, they've gone on tons of cruises. They ask us to go on a cruise. Sue's idea of cruise is a little button you push. You understand? On the water is not her idea. So we don't do cruises. I have my own daughter and son, Jamie and Eric, went on a cruise. We're going to have fun. Then have it. No, Mom and Dad, you've got to come. No. Sue, it's not an option for her. Is it on the steering column? Then it's not a cruise for us. And Steve kept saying, so Lord, where do you want us to go on vacation? And God, he said, here, would you drive? And God's like, I'd like to drive your life. Thanks. And he just guided him over to a website. Next thing they know, and he talks to Cheryl, hey, look at Bahamas for $25 a night. You think we could handle that? Well, we paid $250 a night before, Steve, so $25 a night we could do, you know. So they went and had fun. We're getting out of our car. We're going to start walking and, God, what do you think? He said, I think you ought to pull over and look. So they get out of the car and God says to them, now, Steve, if you leave the car, you may come back if there's not a car. Because whatever there is in the car won't be here when you come back. So Steve listened. He didn't just ask, he listened. But he was around us for 2 years where all we preached on was depending on God. I'm sure they got tired of it. Cheryl probably said, send me a, you know, if you preach on anything else, let me know. Because I've already got all the notes. He's preached that from cover to cover for 2 years now. I've got it. Depend on God. You know, ask God before you move. Do you invite Him in your day? See, earlier I asked, do you ask Him to move in your life? But now I'm asking this. Do you invite Him in your life? Do you invite Jesus in your life? Do you include Him? And the last question is, how often? This is to help you. Now, I've never been to Bosnia. But what I have heard and understand about what's over there, it's not anything like what we're used to. And it's a whole lot harder to live there. And it's easier to believe in God there than here. Because here, we don't have food, we just call some government agency. Or we go stand on a street with this little sign. Or we go work at delivering pizza or whatever. But what if the government has no agencies? What if nobody else has any money? I mean, there isn't any to be had. When I watch those old movies, like of World War II, and our soldiers going into cities where the Nazis have been, the people had very little, if anything, to eat. And I just watched one the other day about Germany after World War II, during the American occupation, after that, the transition, like us being in Iraq, you know, the transition. And we can't even fathom what it was like. You don't know what it's like. There wasn't a McDonald's to run to. And if you went to it, they were probably bombed out. But if there was even there, you didn't have money to pay for it. And if you did, it would cost way more than the money that normally, it's like right now, gas is what, about $4 a gallon? I understand by the summer it's going to be $5 a gallon. Every day my wife wants a bowl of oatmeal while we're in New York. $8 for a bowl of oatmeal. I can't even tell you what it was like. You first have to find a store like that. And oh, I see. And if we only had thought of that before, because we had been there and had that experience. Now that we have that experience, we know a lot of things. Like, don't go, you know. Not my cup of tea. Do you know what we talk about here? How to live Jesus in a very practical, everyday life that you have right now. And folks, there is a verse that kept coming to me this morning. I don't know the reference because I didn't look it up. It's in the Old Testament. And it says, if footmen tire you, what will horsemen do? If you're struggling now, what's going to happen when the bottom falls out? If you're struggling now to even talk to people and you're all afraid to talk to people and share Jesus with others, what about when they bring you before a council or they ask you questions in front of a group and you can't even talk to one person now? How are you going to stand in front of a group? What do you think Peter felt when he denied Jesus? After. Right? Think about what he felt during it. Fear, intimidation. What did he feel after? Oh, please, that's how I want to live, in shame. I'm so happy. I'm very happy. Do you understand? I'm trying to help you prepare for what's coming. But I'm trying to help you with your everyday life now, because this is going to be a transition we go into. But it's coming rapidly. It's not like this is what's going to happen in your grandkids' days. Sue said to me this morning, I don't know what's going to happen while she and I are alive, she says. I don't know what's going to happen while we're alive, she said, but I sure can see what's going to happen for our kids and their kids. I love you. It's not based on you doing good, because I love you when you don't do good. Do you understand? I love you for who you are. I love you because God put you in my life, and I told God He could love anybody He wants through me, and He said, I'm going to take you up on that. So He gave me all of you. Do you get it? Did you get the humor of that? You see, I love Cheryl, but when I talk to Cheryl, Cheryl's a trip. I don't know if you know Cheryl and spend time with her, but she's a trip in herself. She is a Cheryl trip, okay? But I've been knowing her for, whatever, about 20 years or something like that. I love Cheryl. I love Cheryl to be Cheryl. She doesn't have to be like Patty or like Sue. It wouldn't fit on Cheryl. Cheryl needs to be Cheryl. And I love Cheryl right where she's at. And I love the way God works through Cheryl. I love that Cheryl is a real compassionate, caring person. You wouldn't know that if you talked to her on her, you know, normal. If you don't get to know her, you just think she's a little smart mouth, a little, you know, quick, you know, or quiet, you know. No, she's a tender-hearted, loving, caring person. But she just doesn't show it the way everybody else does. It's not her. She's got to be her. You got to be you. And I love you. And I care about you. But it's every day. How are we living today? How am I going to make it through today? Who is God? You see, we got to grow past ourselves. Do you hear me? We got to grow past ourselves. If your whole focus is on yourself and how you're going to make it and how you're going to pay the bills and how you feel and what you want and your little feelings being hurt, I'm sorry, your big feelings being hurt, we got to mature past that so that we can care about others and reach outside of ourselves. Allow God to reach outside of us to love those around us. I'm not asking you to do what I do. I'm asking you to let God live His life through you. He that findeth his life, he that finds his own life, you're going to lose it. But he that loses his life for Jesus' sake, Jesus, 1977 for me, Jesus, you laid down your life for me. I don't understand why you would die for me. But I understand that you did. So Jesus, I want to give you the only thing I can give you, and that's my life. So it's not my life anymore. How do you want to spend it? You want to write that in your little questions? Jesus, how do you want to spend my life? Jesus, how do you want to spend my life? Parents, have you ever given your kids money? Have you ever not given them money? Have you ever given your kids money? And then you ask them, what are you going to do with it? And they're going to spend it childishly because they're childs, you know, little childs, little children. And you try to guide them. As soon as they see a piece of candy or a toy, it's gone. They don't even care how much it costs because it doesn't mean anything to them because they didn't earn it. They didn't have to do anything for it. You gave it to them. How do you want to spend my life, Jesus? I wonder if you've got a better idea than he does of how to spend your life. Do I have a better idea than Jesus of how to spend my life? I love you. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Jesus, I am asking you, Holy Spirit, right now I just sense you saying this in me. I am asking you to take what was said today and make it alive in us. So many things we've said, we've heard before. But may today be different. May we meditate, peruse, think on, muse on what was said today. May we allow it to penetrate us, take root inside of us, that it could bring forth fruit to the blessing of Jesus, to the glory of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you would have your way with what was said, and that it would find entrance in our hearts, in our lives, and take root. Holy Spirit, I am asking you to forgive us in advance for not listening or taking things lackadaisically, and I'm asking you to pursue us with these truths. Pursue us and don't leave us alone. And I say thank you, Jesus. My desire is that you would bless every family, every life in this place, every family represented here, that you would draw each one unto yourself, that you would protect them, keep them safe, guide them, and these things that were talked about, bring it about so that they begin to live in us. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, we started out with the question, what lie are you tired of living? Or what truth are you in agreement with but not really living? See, we heard these things before. Have you ever wondered why God has me keep saying the same things so many times, repeating? No, but I'm just asking, have you ever thought about that? Stuttering problem. So y'all are going to pray for me that I have a stuttering problem, okay? Good. Maybe I'll get healed. It'll help you. Why does He have us repeat it so many times, Jason? I wonder.